We're going to learn Daf Samach Vov in Masechtas Nedarim. We're going to start from the end of the first line, the beginning of the second line on the top of the Amid. It's a new Mishnah. So the Mishnahs that we're dealing with in this parak are talking about, we are familiar with this concept that if a person makes a neder and he's not happy with his neder and he needs to get out of the neder, so he's able to go to a Rav and ask for a Pesach. And he's saying, listen, if I had known this piece of information, whatever this piece of information that we're talking about is, I would never have made the neder, so I want that as an excuse to make a neder. So far we've established that Noilad, which is a completely different circumstance than anybody could have anticipated or could have predicted, that is not included, that's not a good Pesach. But there are other things that the Mishnayos are going through. What about these circumstances? What about these things? So that is the theme that the Mishnayos now are going to talk about. We're going to have a few Mishnayos like that today. So the Mishnah starts like this. So what this means is the Rav can ask the person, when you made the neder, did you realize that it is usur for you to be mitzta'er, to have pain, the opposite of Oinek Shabbos, on Shabbos or Yontif? Okay, and if the person says, oh no, I didn't realize that as a result of my actions, I'm not going to be able to keep Shabbos properly, I never would have made the neder, that's a good enough excuse. The Mishnah considers that a good excuse, and that's considered a Pesach that the Rav is able to be matir. That's the first case. Originally, when they understood this, okay, so the Rav said that obviously the neder doesn't apply to Shabbos, so because I would be ruining my Shabbos, so they understood that to mean, so the neder doesn't apply to Shabbos. But the neder itself is still intact. The rest of the week, whatever the Isser would be, let's say, for example, he says, I'm not going to eat meat, or something like that, the rest of the week it would be Usser, Alpia's neder, not to eat meat. Until Rabbi Akiva told us, Shahaneder, Shahutu Michloloi, Hutur Kuloi. That once you have a neder, that part of it is no good, then the entire neder is no longer part of it. And the Ran brings a Yerushalmi that bases it on a pasuk, because the pasuk says, "Kichol hayotze mipiv yaseh," everything that comes out of your mouth you should do. So we darshan from that pasuk kichol that it's a whole thing. It's one big item. So if this doesn't apply, if this neder is no longer intact, so then it's no longer a neder. That's how the Gemara in Yerushalmi darshans it. Okay, so now we have this concept that if it's hutter miktsasa hutter kuloi, if part of it is no good, the entire thing is no good. So ketzad, the Mishnah now gives an example. Omar koinim sha'ani nene lekulchem. If a person makes an eder to a group of people, and he says that I'm not going to give any benefit to all of you as a group, hutter echad mehen hutter kulo. That once one of them becomes excluded from that group, then the whole neder falls apart and all of them are going to be mutter. This, if you recall, we quoted this Gemara on Chavov a while ago. Okay? And over there, the Gemara's example, the Gemara explained this Mishnah to be talking about a case where his father was included in the group, where he's looking at a group of people and he says, I don't want anything to do with all of you. And his father happens to be standing in his group. So we understand, then he says, oh, fine, if I had known that my father was in this group, I never would have made this neder. So that's where the Mishnah over here is coming to say that that once the neder doesn't apply to the father, in that example, again, it's the example of the Gemara, once it doesn't apply to the father, then it doesn't apply to anybody. Now, as we'll see, there's two different ways to say a neder when you want to join a group. Over there, it was a machlekes on Daf Chavov. It's a machlekes between Rabba and Rava. When the guy realized that his father was part of the group, did he just say, oh, I would have made the neder, but what I would have said was that everybody here is also except my father. I would have added the words except my father. So there, that's Rava Shita, that the case over there would work. And Rabba, Smachlekes Rabba and Rava. And Rabba says that the case was when the guy realizes that his father is there, he says, oh, I never would have made this neder at all. What I would have said was that you, and I never would have mentioned my father in the first place. So I would have not only changed the concept of the neder to apply to everybody, but I would have actually changed the wording of the neder also. Again, that was the sugya and Daf Chavov explaining this Mishnah over here that we already saw. Okay, so it's machlekes whether what you had to change when you said, oh, I didn't mean to include everybody, i.e. his father. But our Mishnah continues and says another case. So the first case was that he said everybody, and then there was an exception to the rule. Then what if he says shani nena lezeh ulezeh? What if he goes and he says, I'm not going to give hanot to this person and this person? So we say huter harishon huter kulon. If the first one that he listed is no longer included in the nether, then the entire nether falls apart. Huter ha'achroin ha'achroin muter v'kulon asurim. But if he only does the last person was the exception to the rule, or the one that it doesn't apply to, then only that person is going to be asur. And we'll see in a moment in the Gemara. The Gemara is going to explain what exactly the case is. But the point, the one thing that's important for us to be aware of is that obviously when he listed these people, he made each one of them contingent on the other one. He says the second guy is also because the first guy is also, and the third guy is also because the second guy is also, and so on and so forth. If there's no connection, just because I spend my day all day saying I don't like you, and then an hour later saying I don't like you, that has nothing to do one to the other. It has to be that he actually made a connection. He connected the two people in the nether. It was only because of the first guy. If the first guy is not also, then everybody is not also. But if it's not contingent, or if it's the last guy that nobody else is contingent on him, it doesn't matter. And that's why, let's just read the parentheses, whether it's the Girsa in the Mishnah or not, but it's certainly part of the explanation of the Mishnah. The Girsa in the parentheses says, Huter emtsoi hemenu ulamata mutter, hemenu ulamalo osir. So, if you have a list of people, just for argument's sake, you have six people, and the fourth guy, the middle guy, is the guy who is the one that you don't want the nether to apply. So as we said, since each person is contingent on the person before him, since the middle guy is no longer part of the nether, then everybody below him, the nether doesn't apply to them. But again, the people before him, are part of the nether. Now, as we'll see in the Gemara in a moment, it has to be that it was a separate nether for each person. It was just contingent one on the other, but it had to be a separate nether for each one. Next line of the Mishnah says, what the example, Sha'ani Nana Lizek Carbon, Ulizek Carbon, if a person said the word I'm making, now the word carbon is the Lashon Nether, is I'm making you usher like a carbon. So, when I said to this person, you are usher to it like a carbon, and then I said to the next person, you are usher like a carbon, he said them individually and separately, then in that case, trichen pesach l'chol echad ve'echad. In that case, you're going to need a pesach for each one, because one has nothing to do with the other. Each one had their own personal nether. And their own personal nether, just because I was matter one nether, then the fact that I was matter another nether, even though I listed them, and even if I said it, so to speak, in one sentence, it doesn't make a difference. The point is that I listed them separately, and each one had their own separate reason, so to speak, to be usher. Each one is because I said carbon for each one. So then, they're not toli zebezeh, and they're going to be usher. Okay? That's, fine. That's the case over here. Now, the Mishnah then continues on another random case. This is a whole new case. Remember, we're trying to list different things that a person could use as a Pesach, and we've now introduced the idea that once it applies to part of the nether, it's going to apply to the rest of the nether as well. So here are some general rules, general isurim, that part of it is going to become mutter. A person says, I'm not going to drink wine, because wine is generally bad for your stomach, or his stomach. Amru loy, but they say to him, v'haloy hamiyushim yafal mayayim. So they said, but that's not true about all wines. Some wines, the older wines, the aged wines, are good for you. So then, hutu b'miyushim. So you guys says, oh yeah, well, in the case, I only meant the ones that are us, the ones that are not us, the ones that are bad for me. The ones that are not bad for me, I don't include. So that means those were never included in his nether. So once it's mutter on that one, v'loy b'miyushim b'lvad hutur. So now it does, since he said wine, and he said wine in generally, once it's mutter, it's not only going to apply to the aged wines that are mutter, elo b'chol ha'yayin, it's going to apply to all of the wines, because he said wine, and now wine, that statement is no longer true. It doesn't apply to all wine. Similarly, the Mishnah says another example, I'm not eating onion, it's harmful for the heart. So Amrulay, and they'll say to him the same thing, kufri, which is a type of a type of onion, yavalulev, so that one is good for you. So not all onions are bad. Once again, hutur bekufri, since it's mutter in kufri, which is a type of onion, that certainly is mutter. Veloy bekufri bilvad hutur, so it's not only in that one. Now the whole nether falls apart. Ala bechol, habit solim, all of the onions are now going to be awesome. Meaning the nether is no longer applicable, at least the way he phrased the nether. He phrased the nether that it applies to onions generally, so that it doesn't apply to onions. So it doesn't apply to an onion, it doesn't apply to any onion. Okay, the Mishnah then finishes off and says, Maisahoya, there was a story on this note, the Heitiru, Rav Meir, B'chol HaBetzalim. And based on that, Rav Meir went ahead and said, all onions are going to be awesome. So obviously this type of story, and that's why the Mishnah is listing this as an example, this type of story happened to Rav Meir, where a guy came in and he said, I made all onions usher, and he said, what about these onions that are good for you? And therefore, their nether is no longer applicable. Okay, so that's our Mishnah. Again, as I said, the idea is that we can open with a Pesach, and now once it applies even to a little bit part of the nether, then it applies to the entire nether. Okay, so the Gemara goes ahead and jumps right away to that example where I had a list of people that as the Gemara says, Hutar ha'achrein ha'achrein mutar v'kulun asurin. But the last case of that list of people was, if I list a bunch of people, even if I made them contingent at one another, if the last of those people became mutar, then it does not impact the other people. Because he was contingent on the first person, but nobody else was contingent upon him. Now, in order for that to be true, this goes the opposite of the rule that we just said. We just said if part of the nether is no good, the whole nether is no good. And now we're saying the part of the nether at the end is no good, and it does not impact the rest of the previous people in his list. So how could that be true? So man tana, who would be the tana of our Mishnah that would make that kind of distinction? Omar Rava. So Rava says, Reb Shimon he, it's Reb Shimon to Omar, ad shiyomer shvua l'chol echod ve'echod. So what Reb Shimon says is as follows, that Reb Shimon says, when I'm doing a list of people, in order for them to be considered one neder, I have to say I have to make the shvua, or in this case a neder, that applies to all of them. And then I go ahead and list all of the people. It doesn't matter. Reb Shimon's shita is, it doesn't matter whether I say lizeh, ulizeh, meaning if I said this guy, or I said the words, and I'm quoting here, and this guy. It doesn't matter whether I put in the word and or not. If I just said my shvua applies to all of these people, it doesn't matter whether I said this guy and this guy and this guy and this guy. It doesn't matter, because I just used one shvuah to carry all of them. But on the other hand, even though the Gemara doesn't say the negative, the opposite side of that is, if I went ahead and I said, and this guy, and I made a shvuah for this guy, and I made a shvuah for that guy, and I separated the concept of shvuah for each one, now they're not toluy zeh bezeh. And if they're not totally zeh bezeh, or at least the last one is not specifically contingent on, nobody else is contingent upon him, so that's why Reb Shimon will agree. This Mishnah is following Reb Shimon's Shita, that's saying that if nobody else is tied to me, the last guy, so then if the last guy is mutter, that has no impact on the previous people. Because it was a separate neder, and nobody was tied to him, so therefore, it's not gonna impact anybody else. Now, just so that you know, the Ran, over here, because if the Ran says it, it's worth mentioning. The Ran over here goes through the proof that we actually paskin like Shitas Reb Shimon, even though there seem to be some Mishnayos that agree with Reb Shimon, some Mishnayos that don't agree with Reb Shimon. But as a general rule, there are more Mishnayos that apply. But that's not the main reason. The main reason the Ran paskins like Reb Shimon is because the Gemara seems to take his position. The Gemara, when describing the concept of Nedarim and discussing it in other contexts, uses Reb Shimon's example, Reb Shimon's Shita, as the base, as the foundation. So if the Gemara is accepting Reb Shimon as the foundation and then expanding from there, that means the way the Ran sees it is that therefore obviously the Gemara holds like Reb Shimon's Shita. That's why we explain all the other things that we do explain according to Reb Shimon. Okay? So that is the Ran on this piece. The Gemara now continues to the second part of the Mishnah. It says, "Koyin yain shani toyim." So we brought the case of the fact that if a guy says, "I'm only making the nether because I think wine is bad," and then it turns out that some wine is good, so we say that it's going to be mutter. So the Gemara just asks a very technical question: the tepik lay de ein ra. Why do I have to say that this wine is actually good for you? It's not relevant that it is good for you. The point is because he said it was bad,
And it's really not true. It's not bad. Why do I need to go the extra step and say it is good? I just have to say it's not bad. So Amar Reb Abba, so Reb Abba answers, you're right. Void Yafa Katani, Anachanami. The point is that it's not bad. We're not disagreeing with that concept. All I really have to do to undo his neder is just tell him that his statement is not true. His statement was it's bad. All I have to say, it's not bad. That's really, but the reality is it's also good. So I can say that, but it's not, you're right, but that is not the point of the Mishnah. It doesn't have to be that I have to prove the opposite. I just have to prove that what he said is not true in order to undo the neder. It's very important for halacha to understand that concept. That I don't have to prove the opposite. I just have to prove that what he said is inaccurate. And once it's inaccurate, then the neder is not a good neder. Now the Gemara basically says the same thing again. Right? So we saw the Mishnah basically the same idea, that instead of wine, which is usually the example, this case is specifically with onions, where the onions also, not all of them are bad. Once again, the Gemara asks the same question, so once again, why do I have to prove that the onion is good? All I have to say that it's not bad. That also undo. So the Gemara answers the same thing. Not only is it not bad, it happens to be realistically, you should just know factually that this happens to be good for you. It's teaching you a separate halacha, a separate piece of information and knowledge that you should know, that the Gemara does teach us these type of things, that it's good for you. But again, the point is, for purposes of Nedarim, all you need to know is that his statement, his basis for which he upon which he made his neder is not true, it's not accurate, and therefore the whole neder is not going to be chal. Okay, that's the whole Gemara on this Mishnah. As I said, a lot of the explanation to this Mishnah really is found back on Daf Chavov, where the Gemara over there talks about Hutter Miksosa Hutter Kuloi. But that's where our Gemara discusses over here. So, the Gemara continues with another Mishnah. We have a new Mishnah again, same idea, that we're talking about what is considered a Pesach, what can a Rav use to undo a neder. So once again, poischin la'odam bekavod atzma bekavod baniv. So we can tell the person, did you realize what this neder is going to do to your reputation and to your children's reputation? Now the context over here, the simple case that the Ran explains, and it could really be anything, but specifically the case is as a result of his neder, he's going to have to get divorced. And as a divorce, of course, that carries with it, unfortunately, a certain reputation, and it also impacts the children. So you could use that as an excuse. You could use that as a Pesach, and the Rav could say, did you realize that it's going to have this kind of impact on you? And if the person says, I didn't realize, that is also considered a Pesach and under the neder. As the Mishnah itself says, Oimrim loy, ilu ha'isa yaideya, if you would have known, shalomachar, oimrim alecha, that tomorrow people are going to say about you, kachhi, vesta shalploini, this is the way the person behaves, this is the way he behaves, megarish as noshav, and that he divorces his wife, that this is what people are going to start talking about you. Va'albanoi secha, and they're going to say about your children, ya'oimrim, they're going to say, benois grusha is saying that the children of divorcees. So, Ma Rosa Imon Shal Elu Lehiskarish is very interesting. So we're taking the perspective when you talk to the children, you talk to them about their mother. Right? People don't like it when you talk about their mother. So he says, they're going to say about the children, what did their mother see that got involved in this kind of marriage that they wanted to get divorced? Okay? So it hurts their reputation, it hurts their feelings. If the person says, if the person's response to that is, if I had known that this is what the response is going to be, I never would have made the neder. That itself is considered a Pesach. Now again, this is similar to a general rule, because this will theoretically apply in every single case, certainly in every single divorce case. This would, or every single divorce case where there are children involved. That's certainly what the way people are going to say. But even so, that's specific enough that you could use that for a Pesach on the neder. Mishnah continues. Koinim sha'ani noisa es ploinis. So we actually just quoted this Gemara on Daf Samachay, right? Or actually Daf Samachdalit. We just quoted this Gemara previously. So the Mishnah, here's the Mishnah that actually says, Koinim sha'ani noisa es ploinis ku'ura. I'm not going to marry this girl because she is ugly. Vahareh no, but in fact she's really pretty. Shechura, she's black. Vahareh levana, but now the reality is she's really white. Katsara, I don't want to marry because she's short. Vahareh arucha, but really she's tall. Or in all of those cases, because of the misinformation, mutter ba, he's allowed to now marry her because the neder was contingent on a piece of information. Now the Mishnah itself explains We're not talking about a case where she was in fact ugly at the time, and then all of a sudden she became pretty. She was black and now turns white. She was sure of Vanasa's Arucha and then she grew up. That's not the case that we're talking about. It's not that the facts actually changed. Ella, rather, the reason why this is not a good nether is a nether tois, that the nether itself was based on false information, was a mistake. You thought that she was black, and it turns out that she was white. So that information was not true. So Mamela, the nether itself, was not a good nether. However, the Mishnah now continues, Umaisa ba'echot shenodar, there was a story where the guy made a neder that he wasn't going to marry the daughter of his sister, his niece. And again, the reason why he made the neder was because he thought that she was ugly. So they brought her to Rabbi Shmuel's house. And Rabbi Shmuel made her look pretty. He put makeup on her, he fed her, whatever it was that he made her look good. So Rabbi Yishmael now said to this guy who made the neder, Bani, mizunid arta, is this what you made your neder from? From a girl who looks like this? And he said, love. That's not what I meant when I made the neder. Rabbi Yishmael was matter the neder based on that. Now, we're going to see in the Gemara that this is a problem, because here Rabbi Yishmael actually changed her. She was a not good looking girl, and all of a sudden he made her look good. So we're going to see how the Gemara deals with this. But the point of the story is, at that moment, Rabbi Yishmael started to cry, and he says, there really are good looking girls. But it's because of they're poor, so they can't make themselves look good. That's what makes them not look good. So he was distraught by the fact that it was the Anias that was making them not look good. In fact, the Mishnah says, when Rabbi Yishmael was nifter, the girls would cry, they said a lament about Rabbi Yishmael, and they would say, and they said about Rabbi Yishmael, Bikina, so they said that he would put them up on a pedestal, that he would make the girls look good, and this is what they were lamenting the fact that Rabbi Shmuel wasn't there anymore to take care of them. And the similar story is true about Shaul. This happens to be Benayis Yisrael al Shaul Bikina, that the girls. This happens to be based on a pasuk. This was the hesped that David HaMelech gave about Shaul HaMelech, that he said that the girls said that he put the girls up on a pedestal. In what sense? So the Medrash brings that Shaul HaMelech, when he would take the men out to war, he would take care of their wives while they were at war. So the girls appreciated that. They appreciated that, and therefore they lamented the fact that Shaul died and was no longer able to take care of them. Now, so that's the story in our Mishnah. So the question is, what exactly happened over here when we talk about she made a neder because she wasn't nice and then she turned nice? Is that considered a good neder or not? So the Gemara right away says, Maisa Lister. So we bring a story that contradicts the halacha of the Mishnah. Because the halacha of the Mishnah says very clearly, it's that she was always a good looking girl. And he just didn't know it. And then the story is about a girl who wasn't good looking at the time he made the neder, and he made her into a good looking girl. So that's the opposite of what the Mishnah just said. The Mishnah said that if it was factually true that she wasn't pretty at the time of the neder, then that neder stays intact. But the Rabbi Shmuel story is no. Even though she in fact wasn't pretty, and he made her pretty, that's also enough of a reason. So it's the story doesn't jive with the halacha that the Mishnah is trying to tell us. So the Gemara says, "Chasurim Echzer v'Hachi Gitani." Obviously, there are words missing from the Mishnah, and you have to put in a few words in order to make the Mishnah read. It says, "V'Hachi Gitani." The way to read it is, "Rabbi Shmuel Oimer." Rabbi Shmuel says, meaning Rabbi Shmuel argues on the Mishnah. The Mishnah says what it says, that she had to be pretty the whole time. But comes along Rabbi Shmuel and says, "No, that's not true. Afilu ku'ura v'nasas." No, I disagree. Even if she was ugly at the time he made the neder, but now she's pretty. Or shchura v'nasas labana. She was black and became white. Katsara, she was short. Nasas Arucha, she became tall. That also is enough of a Pesach, enough to be Mater a Neder. And then the Mishnah continues with the story. Maisa Be'echad Shenodah Mi Chosoi, then the Gemara brings the Mishnah brings the story. There was a person who made an eder about his niece Vechnisu the base Rabbi Shmuel, and they brought it to Rabbi Shmuel Viyafua, and they made her pretty, and therefore again based on Rabbi Shmuel Shita, that was enough to be matter the neder, because now she's pretty, and again. So the one thing is that's not noilad, because that can be expected. That the person, you know, she can grow out of it. She can become somebody who is appealing to the guy, and therefore it's not considered noilad. So the fact that he made the neder when she was ugly is no longer applicable when she becomes pretty. Okay, that takes us now to the top of Samach Vav Amud Beis. The Gemara then tells another story. Tana, we learned in a Braisa. Shane, what exactly happened? In other words, to explain the story, what exactly were the facts over here that she wasn't good looking and now she became good looking? So the story is, the explanation is like this. Shane, Toisebes, Hoiso, Lo. That she had a fake tooth stuck in her mouth. Like, we could all picture that smile with a black tooth in the middle. Makes you look like a pirate. It's not very appealing. So this girl had a tooth in there that didn't look good. For also Lo, Rabbi Yishmael, Shane, Shelzov, Mishaloi. And Rabbi Yishmael took his own money and replaced that ugly tooth and he made it into a golden tooth. Now the Mefarshim over here point out that the truth of the matter is, if you have a mouth of decent teeth and you have one gold tooth in the middle, that also actually doesn't look very good. So they say that what the Gemara meant was that he actually made it out of gold, because that wouldn't look good. He made it look like her other teeth, but now her teeth became like gold. Her teeth became valued like gold because it looked so good. So that's one pshat. The other pshat is that he made all her teeth out of gold so that it didn't look out of place. But the point, everybody agrees that if you have a mouthful of teeth and one of the teeth is gold, that doesn't look good, and that's not exactly what Rabbi Shmuel did. The point is Rabbi Shmuel made her smile pretty in a way that it looked good. Okay? As the Gemara says, the Gemara now continues, Kishochiv Rabbi Yishmael, when Rabbi Yishmael was nifter, Pasach Alei, Hahu Saftana, the person who was giving a hespid, said about Rabbi Yishmael, Hachi, the following, Benois Yisrael, Hachi, Benois Yisrael, Al Rabbi Yishmael, that Bikina, He put us up on a pedestal that he dressed us, meaning he made them look good, and this was one of the things that Rabbi Shmuel had rachmanis on the girls in Klal Yisrael, so that they should look good for their husbands. Okay, so the Maspid said this is the girls appreciated the fact that he would do this for us. So, and now that we're telling the stories about certain Lifnim Ashuras Adin that Rabbi Shmuel did to take care of a Shalom Bayis husband and wife situation, the Gemara now tells another few stories. Hahu, the Amar Lola Divisu. There was this guy who said to his wife, Koinim she at nanesli, I'm not going to have, you are usher to me like a neder, ad she ta'imi tavshilech l'Reb Yehuda u'l'Reb Shimon, until you're able to feed your food, your dish, to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Like, I'm not, if you're able to give them food, then I'll have to do with you. Okay, so the Gemara continues with the story. Rabbi Yehuda told him, so she brought her food over to Rabbi Yehuda, and he ate it. Omar, and he said, Kal v'chomer, of course I should eat it. I'll tell you why. It's a Kal v'chomer. Uma lasa shalom ben ish le ishta. In the parsha of Saita, we know that if the purpose is to make a peace between a husband and a wife, Omra Torah, the Torah goes far to say, Shmi, my name, meaning Hashem's name. Hashem's name, Shenichta b'kedusha yimche alamayim, hamoirim, that it, my name gets rubbed out into the bitter water, as we know that's part of the process that they do in the parsha of Soita, is they erase the parsha of Soita into the water, and they mix it with dirt, and then the woman drinks it, and that determines, and that tells us, clarifies if the woman is innocent, clarifies that nothing happened, and then that is the parsha of Soita. But the point is that you're erasing Hashem Hashem. Normally it's also to erase Hashem Hashem, and still Besafik, and that's all Besafik, and even based on a Safik, because we don't know what the result is going to be. But if the result is good, it's going to create Shalom Bayis between the husband and the wife. So we're even able to go so far to erase Hashem's name. the ani, so Rabbi Yehuda said about himself, alachas kama v'kama, I for sure should allow my covet to be put aside so that I could save this marriage. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda, who normally wouldn't necessarily eat from some random girl, he was going to eat the suda in order to be able to save the shalom bayis of this family. However, the condition was that both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon had to eat. So the Gemara continues with the story and says, Rabbi Shimon loitai. Rabbi Shimon refused to eat. He said, and Rabbi Shimon not only did he refuse to eat, he said, Amar yemusu kol b'nei almana, let his children die and create almanas, v'ayazuzu Shimon mimikaymoi. Then Shimon should not move from his place. Okay, let's just finish. V'oid. So the first thing he said, it's not appropriate. It's better that he should lose out on his shalom bayis than I should have to do anything just because he decided. That's first of all. V'oid, and there was actually a bigger reason over here. Ki heich deloy letargali leminder. I don't want him to start getting used to making nadarim. He's going to start making, you know, truth and dear type of things for his wife to do, and he's going to make it now the Rabbanan's problem to get him out of the mess. I don't want people to start thinking that they can play around with the Rabbanan like this, and by the way, disrespect the Rabbanan to force them to do his whim. So therefore, I don't want people to start thinking that this is appropriate behavior. So I'm not willing to bend to eat her food. Now the Mefarshim explained the reason why Rabbi Shimon argued on Rabbi Yehuda, because Lamaiso, on the one hand, Rabbi Yehuda had a very good eye. He had a kal v'chomer that and a chanami. It is our job as the Rabbanim. The Rabbanim's job is to, if Hashem is willing to do whatever it takes for shalom bayis, the Rabbanim also theoretically should be willing to do it. But the difference is, the Mefarshim do point out that the difference is, I think the Rosh points out that by the parsha of Soita, when the husband brings his wife to the Beis HaMikdash, he's doing it l'shem shemaim. He's doing it for the right reasons, meaning he saw something that made him suspect. He doesn't know what actually happened. It bothers him, but it's only a suspicion, and he wants to make sure that everything is really correct. So he's doing it l'shem shemaim. So l'shem shemaim, we're even willing to erase her name. This guy who decided to drive his wife crazy and drive the Rabbanon crazy wasn't doing it l'shem shemaim. In fact, at least Rabbi Shimon understood somehow. He understood from the context of the story. He understood that this guy's goal was to actually be mevazeh the Talmid HaChachamim, was to get the Talmid HaChachamim to bend to his will, and therefore Rabbi Shimon says that's not appropriate. I don't have to. The kal v'chomer doesn't apply over here because this guy didn't mean it l'shem shemaim. He didn't mean it l'shem shemaim, so therefore it's not my job. It's not my job to make everybody happy, even when they have an inappropriate behavior. Even if it does, potentially Rabbi Yehuda understood it and saw the shalom bayis aspect. Rabbi Shimon saw this guy's behavior, and this guy's behavior was not appropriate for somebody for the Rabbanan to bend to his will. Okay, so that's the machlokes. Okay, but you see that Rabbi Yehuda at least cared about the shalom bayis. So that's an important, that is the connection to the Gemara before. And the Gemara therefore continues with another story, similar but different. Ahu, rather. It was this guy, the Amar Lo Divisasu. Once again, he said to his wife, Koinim, Shiat Nanes Li, I don't want to have any anof from you, or you can't have anof from me. Adshe Tiruiki Boy, Berav Shimon Ben Gamliel, until you spit. Now, what he meant was you should spit at Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, which once again is a similar type of story in the sense that he wanted his wife to be mevazeh, to insult or embarrass Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, who was, you know, the Nasi, the Reish. He wanted to spit at him. Also, so she came, v'rokok alavushe. So instead of spitting in his direction, she actually spit directly on him. And she spit on his begodim. So, the question is, did she fulfill the conditions for the neder? Because it's saying, if you spit at him, then the neder is not awesome. So Rav Acham Midifti said, the whole purpose was that he wanted to embarrass him. In other words, spitting at somebody, spitting at their name, spitting in their direction, is considered very embarrassing. She didn't spit in his direction, she spit at, literally on him. So maybe that's not fulfilling the guy's neder. So Amar Lei, so Ravina said no. Meirak Almoni de Rav Shimon ben Amliel Zilusa Rabosahi. Spitting on his clothing is a tremendous embarrassing. It's not the same necessarily as spitting in his direction. You know, where you have people go toot toot. You know, they you know, just saying the name, they're like, right? That's embarrassing. But here, spitting on his clothing also is an embarrassment, and it accomplished, so to speak, what the husband wanted, which was to embarrass and be mevazet Rav Shimon Gamliel. Again, it wasn't appropriate. We're not saying that this is appropriate behavior, but in terms of the neder, it accomplished what the neder was supposed to do. Now, this happens to be, even though I didn't see this beferish, but the having dirt on the clothing of a Talmid Chacham is something that's inappropriate for a Talmid Chacham. That's considered embarrassing for a Talmid Chacham. So the fact that she, even though again it didn't, the act that he was trying to accomplish was not exactly, she didn't do the act as he wanted, but the result was the same. The result was that he got the embarrassment, and for him it was certainly embarrassing to have spit on his clothing, and therefore the neder was not chal. So we see Rav Shimon Gamliel tolerated it. It doesn't say that beferish, but I think that is the point of the Gemara over here. The Gemara then tells another story. Hahu da'amar lo ledvisu. Again, a husband says to his wife, these are all misbehaviors of the husband. Koinem shi'at nenesli. I'm making an edda that you should not have any anah from me. Ad shetiri mum yafa shebech. Until you could show me a good mum. Now, Ron has two gear soyus over here. What exactly, whether he said that you should show that you don't have anything nice about you, or he should show that he does have something nice about you. We're going to go with, so to speak, the second gear soyus in the Ron, where the point of the story is that he was saying, I'm going to be usher unless you could show me a mum, something bad about you that is good. Okay, something bad about you that is consistent. That's what he was looking for, and that will fit into the, so to speak, make it easier to fit into the story of the Gemara. Again, so he was looking for something bad about her that was good. Okay, so based on that story, so he said, "Ad shetiri mum shiyafa shabaych li Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yosi." You have to show Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yosi something, even with all your mumim, something good about that. So Amar Lahem. So Rabbi Shmuel, when he heard about Rabbi Yosi, when he heard about this, said to them, "Shema Roshano, maybe she has a pretty head. Amar Lo Yisagalgo, no, it's round, not good looking. Shema Sairano, maybe her hair is pretty. No, Doimela Anitse Pishon, they look like flax. It looks like what do they say, steel wool. It's like all bristly or whatever. It's not good looking. Shema Einea Nois, maybe her eyes are pretty. Terutois, also they were round eyes, bulging eyes are not good looking. Shema Oznea Nois, maybe her ears are good. Kfulois Hein. Now, kfulois we would normally translate as folding, but it's interesting, both the Mepharshim explained kfulois as they were very large. I'm just assuming that very large means that they're large, therefore you can fold them over. But the point is that they were not good-looking ears. They were disproportionate size ears. Shema Choytmano, maybe her nose looks good. Bolomhu, no, it's closed. So once again, her nose is not going to do it. Shemes vaseha, nois, maybe her lips are pretty. Ovoy saying they're very thick, which is not good looking. Shemes havoro, no, maybe she has a pretty neck. Shokut, who it's submerged into her body, meaning it's a very short neck. It's not good. Shema kreso, no, maybe her belly is good looking. Sovehi, she's bloated. Shema raglea, nois, maybe her feet look good. Ruchovois kishal uvza, they're wide like a goose. So they're planks. They're not good looking. Shema Shimono. So finally he asked her, maybe her name is pretty. And he says, Lachlucha Shema. Her name is dirt. That is her name. Omar Lahan. So finally Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yossi said, Lahan, Yafa Karyanoisoi Lachluchis. It's good. Your name actually is good. Your name is, it's good that they call you dirt. Shehi Meluchleches B'mumin. Because she is dirty with mumin, meaning she is so bad. Everything about her is not good, and her name fits her perfectly. So that is a mum, even though it's a disgusting name, it's not a nice name, but her name fits her personality perfectly. So that is something that is good about her mumin. Something good about her bad. B'sharia, and therefore Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi was mata her, because this is fulfilling the neder. Or, as the Mepharshim actually explained, therefore the condition of the neder is not chal, so that it was never a neder in the first place. Okay? So that is to say that even though this is not really a Pesach, this neder is not going to be chal in the first place, so I don't need a Pesach to undo it, because the neder itself was not chal, because the conditions that he required in order for the neder to be chal never happened. Remember, he wanted it to be chal if everything about her was bad. And since not everything about her was bad, something was good, so then the neder was not chal. So the Mepharshim say that the purpose of these Gemaras over here is not really to build on the what is a Pesach, because over here it's a slightly different halacha. It's not a good neder. Rather, the purpose of this Gemara is to show how various gedolim went out of their way for shalom bayis, went out of their way to make it so that the shalom bayis, that the marriage could continue to exist. Okay, so it's not for the Pesach aspect of it. It's for the gedolim aspect of it. The Gemara then tells another story. Ahu bar bavel desolik la'arad yisroel. So now there was this person who came from Bavel, who spoke a different language, who came to Eretz Yisrael. Nosiv Itzisa. He married this woman. It's interesting, I saw that Ben Yoyoda says that this woman was obviously not very bright. It was interesting that he says that. Married this woman. Omar Lo, and he said, Bashili Li Tre Talfi. Cook for me two beans. Now, what he meant to say is, that's an expression. It's really meant as an expression. You know, cook me something nice that I could eat. So what happened? Bishlele trey talfi. So then she went ahead and she literally cooked for him two beans, which is not very much. Rosachala. So he got angry at her because he got angry that she misunderstood what he was saying. Lamachar. So the next day, Amarle bishlele giyuro. So the next day he told her, he realized if I say a very small portion, she's going to cook nothing. So instead he gave a giyuru, which is a much larger portion, which theoretically could feed a lot of people. But of course his point, his kavana was, cook me, you know, a decent meal, right? I don't want to be stingy on it. So bishlele giyuro, but she went ahead and she took his words literally, and she cooked for him. She cooked for him this huge, whole fancy feast. Amar lo, so he said to Zili Isili Tre Butsini. Bring me to Butsini, translated in Aramaic to Avatichim, which is the translation of a watermelon. So he wanted her to bring like a big fruit. Ozus va Isile Tre Shragi. But instead she brought him two lanterns. A lantern also is also translated as Butsini. It's the same word. For some reason, it has two different translations. Obviously, the context makes a big difference. But he wanted a nice food. Instead, she brought him a candle. Amar lo, zili tavri yoshoin al reisha debavo. He said to her, go and break these on the reish debavo. So, I don't want to translate it because it'll ruin the story, but what he meant was on the doorpost, on the head of the door. That's what he meant. However, Haviyosef Bobo Ben Buto, Bobo Ben Buto happened to be sitting by the door, the Kadoyin Dina, and he was in the middle of doing a Dintera. Ozlos Vitavris Yasoin Al Reshe. So she went ahead and took his word literally. He said, break it on Bobo. Break it on the head of Bobo. So she went ahead and broke the candles over the head of Bobo. Amar Lo, he said to her, Mahadein to Abdis. So why he was turned around to her and was like, what are you doing? Why are you smashing this over my head? Amrlay, so she said, Kachtivani Bali. So she repeated the words of her husband and she said, that's what my husband told me to do. Omar, so he said to her, At Asis Ritsoin Baalech, since you did what your husband asked from you, Hamokoim Yoitzi Mimech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should make come from you Shnei Banim Kibobo Ben Buto, two children that are on the level of Bobo Ben Buto. In other words, he appreciated the fact that even though obviously she completely misunderstood what her husband meant, but in her mind, she was doing exactly what she was doing it for the sake of her husband. Again, not very bright, and she misunderstood what he meant. But Lamaisa, in her mind, she was doing exactly what her husband asked her to do. And we see again, once again, the Gemara ends off with the story to tell us the godless of Bobo Ben Buto. The Bobo Ben Buto understood and appreciated how important it was for Shalom Bayis purposes, that, and therefore was able to, so to speak, get out of his own covered for the sake of her, say, for her marriage, in order to do this for the sake of her marriage. Hajin Aloch, Rabbi Eliezer. We'll stop over here.